The topic today is merger versus marriage. What is a couple? What in developmental object relations terms can help us understand when two people come into a couples therapist's office, are they really a couple? Or are they not yet developmentally at the level of being a couple? And in the latter case, are they more involved in an enmeshment with each other or a psychic merger with each other as opposed to a marriage or a relationship of a couple where two people are really separate and differentiated people with their own opinions, thoughts, and feelings and ideas about life and about their life together. But in that case, they're a couple that's really a couple. If they're two separate people like that who are self-integrated within themselves, even though they have defenses that may create impasses in their communication and they might project things onto each other, they're still at the level of a couple where they can discuss their differences and discuss their yearnings for each other, their fears of each other, and what they want to do in a couple session to develop a better relationship. A couple that's really a couple is able to put these things in words with feelings, and the couples therapist helps them, as I do, with to put things in feelings, to look at each other while they're speaking. And she points out what they're projecting onto each other that interferes with them understanding each other and understanding who the other really is. But projection is very different than projective identification. And marriage or coupling is in a real couple is very different than merger, which involves projective identification rather than projection. In this case of a merger, you have two people that are not yet self-integrated, and you have two people who not only have neurotic defenses like projection, but who haven't gone through separation and individuation in the second year of their life and with the critical rapprochement phase, 18 to 36 months, where they internalize a symbolic image of the mother and therefore feel like they have a safe enough environment inside that they can go on and have their autonomy and their separate development from mother, but still be connected and emotionally involved in with mother and with the other for life. If they can't do that because there's a traumatic disruption in separation individuation, because the mother can't let them go or can't stay emotionally related to them while the child goes for autonomy. But if she needs to push the child into an image that she wants it to be, or to pull it back into a regressive symbiosis for her own needs to just cuddle on and be comforted without having to deal with the needs of a child that feels separate and demands things of her that she might not want to, she might not be on the same wavelength. A narcissistic mother or a borderline mother will not allow the child to be separate and to ask things of it and share things from a separate position and have autonomy and begin to develop its own ability for self-expression through words. So when that happens, the person may grow up to want to be with another in a couple, but have very big problems. And when that kind of a pseudo couple with two people who might have both been arrested on that level, or at least one of them, then they're not at the level where they can, in words, put their feelings and thoughts together and try to understand each other from separate vantage points. They cannot understand what they project onto each other that prevents them from seeing the other, but in fact, at least one, if not both, will be involved in trying to create the other into what they want them to be and to kind of force them to in it by these enactments that are, they are pressuring the other to submit to their way of act, wanting them to act or think or be. And in doing that, they will also try to get rid of parts of themselves into the other, sometimes to relieve themselves of their aggression, put it into the other, or, and then they'll have lots of problems about seeing themselves as a victim of the other's aggression when they put the aggression of themselves into the other, but really try to force the other into an enactment of a sadomasochistic battle, like one that lives inside of them from this early struggle with the mother who wouldn't let them go during their 2 years old period, what we call the toddler period. So they're still living in that toddler trauma, not being let go of by the mother, not being related to a separate, not learning to use words to understand themselves or the other. And in the couples therapy, they'll try to force the other one into their way of seeing things rather than listening to the other and trying to sort out how they might have a difference of views and try to understand each other. Instead, at least one of them will try to force the other into seeing and believing in the relationship to be what the other wants it to be. And at the same time, it's forcing the other or intimidating the other, shaming the other, and making the other actually feel this. It's not just projection, something in their mind they have put onto the other in their mind so that their image of the other is somewhat distorted. That's a more higher level mechanism of defense. But instead, it will be like not just in their mind, they're forcing the other to actually get enmeshed in an enactment of some sadomasochistic struggle that lives on inside of them in their internal world. And they will try to pull the couples therapist into it too. And I've recently just written a 6-page essay related to contrasting a true couple who can relate and really communicate through words and a more developmentally stuck or arrested couple who haven't been able to fully bloom within themselves and with each other because of early disruption, which reaches trauma for a two-year-old when they were trying to separate and individuate from the mother. And when you disrupt separation individuation, you disrupt self-integration, because what happens is each person then dissociates from the part of them that's traumatized and tries to put into the other person, tries to force the other to act it out. So they don't integrate that part into themselves. So they don't integrate parts of themselves along with not being separate and not being able to process things and not being able to put feelings into words. And a lot gets acted out non-verbally or by using words in the sessions as weapons or as seductions without the meaning, the symbolic meaning of the words being the main message. And the therapist will have to resist being pulled into this, along with the other member of the pseudo couple being trying to not be pulled into this or getting into it in an enmeshed way and doing their own thing in the same way because they both have the same sadomasochistic thing. And then it's a real mess because the therapist has to sort out something that's not just open to interpretation where they can freely choose to stop doing what they're doing, which the higher level couple can do. The higher level couple will welcome interpretations from the therapist when they project things that distort who the other is so that they can listen better to the other and work out their relationship and have a better life together. But the developmentally impaired couple who have early trauma that they haven't resolved, who haven't integrated dissociated parts of themselves, will not be able to use words to communicate and will not be freely able to choose to stop doing what they're doing when the therapist interprets it. They will be compelled to keep doing it. And this creates an impasse that lets the therapist know that maybe couples therapy can't happen successfully with these two people until they're really at the level of being a couple, which requires that they both be in individual therapy. If they're not already, the couple's therapist would be wise to refer each of them to an individual therapist. I mean, I do both individual and couples therapy, but I try to keep the two separated. In most cases, I work individually intensively with people and I work with couples. But if I had a couple that wasn't working out, I would refer at least one of those people out to another therapist for individual therapy. And this is the wisest course of action to help this both people to possibly sustain their relationship and work things out so they could become a couple as they develop, or to help them separate in a way that's less harmful than it would have to be if they were didn't have the help of individual therapy and going on with their own growth and development. Now, often patients don't, or a member of a pseudo couple does not want to go into therapy, and then that, of course, prevents things from moving on for the couple becoming a couple as well. So, these are some of my thoughts about different levels of couples. What is a couple? What is merger? And what is marriage? What is projection and what is projective identification? When is there developmental arrest and dissociation? And when is there self-integration with higher level defenses like repression and projection? That's a mental phenomena, but not something enacted against the other in forceful terms. These are a few of my contrasts, and I hope you have enjoyed hearing a new topic today, totally new from my others on couples and couples therapy. Thank you so much.